hopefully bring a message that will be a blessing to you. But it says there in verse 16, the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself, the Spirit, capitalized there, bears witness with our spirit. Our spirit. That we are the children of God. God Himself lets us know we're His children. And if we're children then He's made us heirs. Whatever His Son has, He's made us heir of that. And so be that we suffer with Him, we're going to also be glorified together with Him. And that suffering with Him means that when He suffered in this world and suffered on the cross, we suffered with Him. And when we suffered with Him on the cross, we're going to also be glorified together with Him. As He went to glory, as He is, so now are we in this present world. And as He's glorified, we're to be glorified. It says in Romans 8:30 there that said, "For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. Them He did predestinate, them He also called. Them He called, He also justified. Them He justified, He also glorified." When did He glorify us? In Christ. But we don't see it. A lot of things we don't see, but we do see Jesus. We do see Him. And watch what else He says. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," now this is what we go through now. Now, the sufferings of this present time, what we go through right now in this world, are not worthy, don't even not worthy to be mentioned, compared to the glory, or with the glory, which shall be revealed in us. God's glory revealed in us? My, my. You know, when everything our God does, and everything God does is first and foremost for His glory. That's the first reason He does anything. That's the motive behind God. Everything He does for His glory. He said He will not give His glory to another, nor His praise to graven images. And He sent His Son into this world for this reason, for this purpose, that we might behold the glory of God. The Word was made flesh and sent to dwell among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He was the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person. So Christ came into this world that we might behold the glory of God in the face, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that God is, Christ is. And everything God made us to know about Himself, He made us to know it. His glory, His power, His wisdom, His love, His grace, everything about Him is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We see His glory there. And salvation. Our salvation, the salvation of any sinner, is to the praise of the glory of His grace. He says that 3 or 4 times in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. To the praise of the glory of His grace. God saves sinners in such a way that no flesh can glory or boast in His presence. No flesh should glory in His presence. And let me tell you some blessed news. God has purposed that He's going to reveal His glory not only to us. Not only to us, we've seen His glory. But He's going to reveal His glory in us. In us one of these days. Look over. Now you keep this and look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And oh, what blessed assurance, what glorious hope this gives me. That God's going to bring glory to Himself through us, in us. In this world, He's going to reveal His glory in us. I want God to have all the glory. I do. I don't want no glory to myself in any way. And that's one thing, once you see the glory of God, once you've been taught the gospel, when you hear people that's just religious, Armenians, free will, it makes you sick how self-righteous they are. It hurts you. You hear things that you used to say yourself, and now they sound so foreign to your ear. They sound so sickening to you. You abhor the thought of it. Because you want God to have all the glory. You want to Him, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. And so look here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, talking about His glory, not only revealed to us, but in us. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now watch this. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Look down verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, has called us to this man, to eternal glory, not just a time glory, eternally glory, by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To whom be glory, to Him be glory and dominion, both now and forever. So you see, that's what He means, that if this glory that's revealed to us and in us, what we go through in this world at any given time, when you think about the glory that we have and the glory revealed in us and the glory of God's made manifest to us, our sufferings, don't even mention them in light of that glory. That's what He's saying. Huh? I want God to have all the glory, don't you? I really, truly do. I really do. And let me tell you something. You know, I sometimes struggle with myself. My flesh. That's why I read, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And I hope none of you do this. But because of my lack of conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ, I sometimes feel that God's glory is not revealed to me or in me. I have such a lack of conformity to Him. I have such coldness of heart sometimes, such dullness in prayer, such dullness sometimes in hearing. My heart sometimes gets so hard and feels so hard. Sometimes I feel utterly and absolutely emotionless. Did any of y'all ever experience that? Sometimes there's times that I have a lack of interest in holy things. Just an utter lack of interest in it. My attitude, my nature, my corruption, all my hypocrisies. Surely, has God revealed His glory to me and revealed it in me? Well, He said He has, so that gives me some hope. That gives me some assurance. You see, there's almost like there's two of me. A public me, which you see now. The one that you see when I see you in town or see you here or somewhere else. And then there's the private me. The one that I am when I'm by myself. What goes on in my heart, what goes on in my soul that only God knows. And sometimes I'm afraid that that private me is going to win. That He's going to come out on top. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But I remember what our blessed Lord Jesus said one time. He shall not fail, He shall not be discouraged. He's going to finish His work. And He said, a smoking flax He will not quench, and a bruised reed He will not break. And though at times my faith seems like smoking flax, He'll never quench it. And though it seems like a bruised reed, He'll never break it. Never break it. And when I see from God's holy word, when I see from this blessed book, that He's going to bring glory to Himself, glory to Himself, and that I and you am included in that eternal purpose. Yes, sir. Oh, what it does, well, what assurance and what comfort it brings to my heart. It strengthens my heart. Let me mention some of the glory that He's revealed in us already. That He's already. It says here in Romans 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let me tell you some glory already revealed in us. His elected, the glory of His electing grace has already been revealed in us. Yeah. The glory of His electing grace. If it's of grace, then it's not of works. And if it's of works, it's not of grace.
Amen.
They can't go together. It's either all of grace or all of works. And that's what our salvation is. God loved us with an everlasting love. And with cords of loving kindness He hath drawn us. Now, beloved, men say election isn't fair. Well, who in the world are we, and what man has the right to question God as to what is fair and what is right and what is just and what is true? Who art thou, O man, that replies against God? Do you think God is unrighteous? Look here in Romans 9. Men say election isn't fair. Was it fair when God raised up Pharaoh just to harden him? God sent a messenger down there and said, "Let my people go." Pharaoh said, "I ain't going to do it." God sent 10 miracles down there, sent 10 signs and wonders. And Pharaoh just continued to not let his people go. Was God fair in saving him? Electing him when he hated God? When he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Huh? Look here in Romans 9:11. "For the children, being not yet born, neither having any done any good or evil," now watch this, "that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated it." Oh, I know I hear people say, "Whoa, that's not fair. As there unrighteousness with God, God's unrighteous to do that." God forbid, don't you dare. Who art thou, old man, that replies against God? Down in verse 20. Did you make yourself? Did you create yourself? Did you save yourself? Do you give yourself life in any way? No. Who are you that would dare question God? Oh, they'll say the election isn't fair, that God doesn't do things that way. Well, I know one thing God doesn't do. He doesn't do what the natural mind thinks He's going to do. Whatever the natural mind thinks He's going to do, He's not going to do that. Men can choose their wives. Choose their wives. They can choose their vocation, where they'll work. They can choose where they go to school. They can decide, "I'm going to have 3 children, 4 children, 2 children, no children." And yet they'll say, it isn't fair for God to do what He wants to in this world, to elect some and pass by others. Oh my, if it was based on fairness, where in the world you think I'd be? Or you'd be? If salvation was based on fairness, God being fair to us, or any human being, where would you and I be this morning? Huh? Oh my, I tell you, this business of electing grace, you think of God, what we were. What's fairness? What we were. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And oh, when you think about who it is that elected us, God elected us.
Amen.
You know that preachers tell you that God and the devil can't cast a vote. And you're the one that cast the deciding vote. But no, if we was the one who cast the deciding vote, then we would have some of the glory in it. They'd have to say, "Yes, I made the decision. Yes, I made the choice. Yes, I had as much to do with my salvation as a cooperative effort." Then you'd get the glory to it. And then there'd be no glory revealed in you then, because it's already there. But oh, it was God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And oh, who made us to differ? And then how He elected us. He chose us in Christ. Christ was the head. Christ was the one with all the power. Christ was the one with all the glory. Christ was the Redeemer. And God said, I'm going to have a people like my Son. And I'm going to choose them in Him. He's going to be the head of them. They're going to derive their life from Him. They're going to derive their grace from Him. They're going to derive their salvation from Him. Everything they need, and they're going to get it from Him. The head. And so He, Christ, behold mine elect, my servant, in whom I delight, in whom I uphold. Talk about Christ. That's why our Lord said, all that the Father giveth me, what does He say? Gave to Him. When were we given to Him? In the covenant of grace, elected of God before the world ever began. Chosen of God. Elected of God. God made the election. And all thy, all that the Father giveth me, what are they going to do? They might come to me when I give them the chance. And if they'll cooperate with my grace when I give them to know, they all shall come to me.
Yes, sir.
He said, I've given Him power over all flesh that He should give eternal life. To whom? To as many as thou hast given Him. Huh? I pray, not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me.
Amen.
Why did He elect us? Well, Ephesians 1 says, according to the good pleasure of His will, it just pleased Him to do it. The only reason can be found is in God Himself. I can't find no reason in me. I can't find any reason in you. I can't find any reason in anybody.
No.
The only reason that we're elected, and God reveals His electing grace in us, it's only to be found in Himself. And oh, let me show you something else. Not only is the glory of His electing grace revealed in us, but the glory of God's redemption in Christ is revealed in us. The glory of God's redemption, paying for our sin, redeeming us from our sin, it's revealed in us. Now you remember when Israel was down in Egypt, they were brought out by power and by blood. Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. God said, yeah, He's going to let my people go. And the first thing He did was that He shed blood. There was a Passover lamb. A lamb for a people. And so the blood was shed. And the blood was spread over the lintels of the door, the side posts, and over the lintels of the door. So when the angel come by, their avenging angel, it passed over them. And then the next morning, they came out of there with great power. And I mean, there was an army after them, and God brought them out with power. What power? Really parted the Red Sea, for one thing. Huh? Let them go through on dry land. Destroyed all their enemies behind them.
Yes.
Gave them light for night, cloud for the day. And so you see, beloved, that's what God does for us. He brought us out with blood. Brought us out with power. The power of Christ's blood cleanses from all sin.
Yeah.
If God has not, if Christ hasn't cleansed it from all sin, if there's one sin His blood didn't cleanse, then everybody's going to perish. Oh, God will not tolerate sin. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Look over here in 2 Peter just a moment. Or excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Redemption means, I read an article this week by Gary Shepherd in his bulletin that says, the mercantile redemption. What that means is, and people ridicule it, that sin had to be paid for. And they ridicule that. Says, oh, sin don't have to, you know, man can live, you know, if he keeps the law, if he does the best he can, keeps the golden rule, and obeys the Sermon on the Mount, he'll be all right. But beloved, sin must be atoned for. Sin must be paid for. And sinners must be redeemed.
Amen.
Israel was God's people. And they were in bondage. They were slaves. Hated by Pharaoh and hated by the Egyptians. And was hard. The taskmaster treated them bad. And God said, but they're mine. And that's the way we were. We in the world. We were in bondage. The world hated us, and we didn't even know. And the world had no good for us. The world never, people ask me all the time, why does the world treat you? It's never done me good. It's never done anything for me. It didn't do anything for my Savior. It didn't do anything. It doesn't do anything for anybody but chew them up and spit them out. And when it spits them out, they wind up in hell if God don't save them out of the Word. And that payment price, beloved, is the blood. God said, I'll set the price and I'll pay the price. I set the price for man's redemption, and the price is the blood and death of my blessed Son. Huh? And so He brings us to the sprinkling of the blood of the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit, how He gives witness that we're children of God, is by applying that blood to our heart. How come your conscience doesn't bother you? How come your heart doesn't condemn you? How come you rejoice in the gospel? The blood's been applied. It purged your conscience. Now what's this? Here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Elect. There were election again. Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God. The Father. Oh, He foreknew us. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Unto obedience. And what's this? I'm in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And He sets us apart. And He sets us apart unto the obedience. Watch this. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's just like that blood. On the Day of Atonement, they took the blood and they went out and started sprinkling it on the people. Sprinkling it on the book. Sprinkling it on the tabernacle. I mean everything that had anything, to do with God had blood sprinkled on it. And beloved, everything now, that same way, everyone whom God has anything to do with, He takes the blood of Christ and sprinkles it. And that's why we're here this morning. Oh, to hear more about that blessed blood. Oh my, redemption. Oh, this redemption. What a wonder. What a blessed wonder redemption is. That there'd be any redemption at all. When Adam sinned, God could have let the whole human race stay lost in Adam. And it'd be hell on earth had not God intervened. And oh, who planned it and purposed it? You know redemption. Was it something that God offered the kingdom to Israel and they decided they didn't want it?
No.
And so then He said, well, since they don't want it, I'll just go ahead and crucify my Son and I'll save some Gentiles. It wasn't an afterthought. Christ stood. You can see it in Revelation 13 and 8 and 1 Peter 1, 18. That Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, if He was slain from the foundation of the world, who was He slain for? So He was slain back there, though He is actually slain in time on the cross. So God always viewed us as blood-bought people, as people redeemed, as people whose sins were already paid for in the eternal covenant of grace. So in one sense, there never was a time we wasn't saved, and now since we have been saved, there'll never be a time when we won't be saved. Oh, my soul. God didn't save an angel, didn't redeem an angel. And look who God redeemed. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And oh, what a redeemer. What a redeemer. Look over in Revelation 5, just a moment. You know, this blessed, blessed redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You know, when He took that at the Last Supper, when He took that supper with His disciples, and He handed them the bread, and He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Sinless body, sinless soul, sinless mind, sinless person. Body broken for you. And then He says, handed them the cup and said, take, drink of this cup. This is the New Testament which is in my blood. And all we partake of that broken body and that blessed blood that was shed because of who it was. There was such merit, such worth in our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, that that one man, through his death and the sacrifice of himself, was able to put away all the sin of all of his people for all time and all eternity.
Amen.
No sin against him whatsoever. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that died.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Right. And not only that, but oh my. Not only is our sins gone, and all of them gone. And then he sends the power to make us understand that. Huh? Oh my, not only was he able to endure that, but he was able to endure also our punishment that was due us and the death that was due us. Now watch this. This is the song of glory. His redemption is a song of glory. Look, it says there in verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders, watch this, stood a lamb. See that capital L? A lamb, that's a title of our Lord Jesus Christ. As if what? Had been slain.
<Good idea.
laughs> Now watch this, down in verse 9. After they heard that, seen that, and seen his power and his glory, they sung a new sound, saying, and this is the song we sang. God put this song in our mouth. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And I mean, they sang this now. I don't know what tune they sang it to, what meter they sang it to, but you know, somebody may be able to take this apart and make a song out of it. But thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Now listen, and hast redeemed us to God,
yes,
by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Then what's this? Oh, what glory is revealed in us and made us unto our God kings, heirs, priests. We can come to God for ourselves. And we shall reign. Oh, what glory shall reign on the earth. Huh? That's what they sing about in glory. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. So you see, in light of those things, what we go through in this world don't amount to much, does it? For what a blessed hope we have. And then not only is the glory of His redemption, the glory of electing grace revealed in us, His glory revealed in us now, but the glory of God's effectual call. You know, everyone whom Christ redeemed, just as sure as God's on His throne, they're going to be brought to Christ.
That's right.
Every single one of them is going to be brought to Christ. Ain't you glad that... I'm not shooting them, you know, that we're not just on a fool's errand, that we actually have something to say and that God will use what's said to open His people's ears. Our Lord Jesus said in John 5:24, that the hour is coming and now is when the dead people don't hear nothing. They do if Christ speaks to them. The dead don't hear. But the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of who? The Son of God. And they that hear, what happens to them? They live. That's why he said, Lazarus is sleeping. And he went over there and he said, Lazarus, man been dead 4 days. Corrupting. Stinking. Swelled up. But that's the way we were, dead and stinking and corrupt and swelled up with self-righteousness and pride and morality and free willism and religion. But Christ said, come, live, come out. And He reverses all the effects of the fall. Does away with all the corruption. All the swelling, all the blackness, all the stink. And Lazarus come out of that tomb just like he'd never been dead. Oh, our Lord Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And my sheep hear my voice. Huh? Look over in Romans, John 10, just a minute. I want you to, you know, you've seen this so many times, but it don't hurt to look at it again. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You know, we were dead aliens, sinners, without God, without hope, without Christ in this world. And we needed life. We didn't need waking up. We needed life. And you know, our Lord knows all of His people. Look what He says here in verse 24 of John chapter 10. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost Thou make us to doubt? If Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. We want to know who You really are. If You're the Christ, just come out and tell us. What's this? I told you, but you didn't believe it. No more than people can believe us now when we tell about Christ. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. Now watch this. But you believe not. You know why you don't believe? Because you're not My sheep, as I said unto you. And My sheep hear My voice, and I know them. And watch this. They follow Me. How does He know them? Zacchaeus, come down. Today I must. I'm not going to try. I'm not wanting to. I must abide at your house. This day of salvation, come to your house.
Yes, sir.
Saul of Tarsus, on his way with warrants in his hands to arrest people like you and me. The Lord said, you went as far as you're going to go. I've let you sin as far as you're going to go. Today is the day you're going to meet Me, hear Me, see Me, know Me, bow to Me, submit to Me, call on Me, trust Me, be saved by My grace. Bam! Down he went on into the dust. And oh, he said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom Thou persecutest. But watch it now, that you're a chosen vessel unto Me.
Amen.
And I called you that you might see the just one, that we might see Christ, that we might hear His voice, and follow Him. Look over at Psalm 27, verse 8. I could quote all these scriptures, but we know, here's Psalm 27 and verse 8. Look what it says. You know, in the day of His power, we're made willing. We're made willing. Here in Psalm 27, no wonder He said in another place, you know, blessed is the man that whom Thou choosest. That's the glory of His electing grace. And causes. The choosing is the cause.
Yes.
Causes to approach unto Thee is the effect of it. And dwell in Thy courts. But look here in Psalm 27 in verse 8. Now watch this. When Thou sayest, seek ye My face. God's got to say, seek My face. We seek Him. Why? Because He first saw us. He says, when you said, seek My face. When did God say, seek My face? In effectual calling. There was a time you didn't seek His face. There was a time you didn't know Him. And one day He sent the Holy Ghost to you, the Spirit of God to you, and the Gospel to you. And He says, seek My face. And what did you say? My heart said. My heart said. Right where you said. Right where you are. My heart said. Unto Thee. I spoke back to you, Lord. My heart said unto Thee. Oh, I'm going to seek Your face. Oh, bless His name. You know, He said, seek. And when He says, seek, you're going to seek. When He says, come, you're coming. Oh, I tell you. And oh, He must bring His sheep. He must. There are other sheep which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Huh? He passed by that infant in its pollution, in its filth, and He spread His skirt over, and He said, I say unto thee, yea, I say unto thee, live. And when God calls a dead sinner, he's going to have life. Huh? And with this call comes life. With this call comes ability. With this call comes the will. With this call comes the desire. With this call comes the freedom.
Right.
Zacchaeus, come down.
Yes.
He had the ability to come down. He had the will to come down. He had the desire to come down. He had the freedom when he got there to believe Christ. And the, all those, that, with the call comes all of that. And oh my, let me give you another one real quick. Not only the glory of redemption, the glory of God's effectual call, all these things are revealed in us right now. That's why to Him be the glory. God, to God be the glory. We have the glory of imputed righteousness in us and upon us. Look over here in Romans 5:19, excuse me. I tell you, the sweetest words a convinced sinner ever had was that we have a righteousness, even the very righteousness of God. That we don't have to produce a righteousness. That we don't have to work to produce anything to be accepted of God. God declared us, made us righteous as God Himself. Huh? Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made, what? Righteous. Righteous. Oh. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is the gospel here. I mean, this is the gospel as good as it gets. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You know, when our Lord Jesus says, if any man come unto me, he must deny himself. Deny himself. What does deny yourself? That means I deny that I have anything at all to do with my salvation. I deny that I have any goodness. I deny that I have any works. I deny that I have any righteousness. I deny that I have any merits. I deny myself. I have absolutely nothing to contribute to this business of salvation.
Right.
And boy, it's hard to deny yourself. It's easy. It's easy to deny bad things you've done. Certain things you've done, say, well, I know that was wrong. But boy, when you have to deny you, your righteous self as much as your sinful self.
Yeah.
Paul, that's what he did. He said, I find, you know, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. But all the righteousness which I had, which is according to the law, which was blameless. He said, I counted the dung. And I want to win Christ and be found in Him having His righteousness. His righteousness. I don't want mine. I'm separating myself from mine. I'm getting as far away from it as I can. I deny it. I hate it. I abhor it. And so it's easy for a person to deny their sinful self and the things they've done and the mistakes they've made. But oh, can you deny your righteous self, your good self, your religious self, and your works, and so-called merit? Can you do that? You can't if God don't enable you to. But if He ever convinces you, when you hear about Christ, your righteousness, Jehovah's in you, the Lord our righteousness, when you hear about that, you'll say, oh, bless God, I've got a way to stand in God's presence now. I've got peace where I can come to God now. Look here at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Oh, for He, only God can do this, made Him to be sin. God made who to be sin? Christ to be sin. For us. For us. The sheep. The redeemed. The elect. Who knew no sin, Christ knew no sin, did no sin. But God made Him to be what we are. That we might be made what He is, the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Do you hear that? The righteousness of God. Where at? In Him. Oh my. I'll tell you something that keeps people from Christ. And this is just the way it is. And if God don't do something for a man, he's going to stay this way. It's not man's sinfulness that keeps him from Christ. It's His goodness. And the moment you become a sinner, the moment you become a sinner, you'll come to Christ so fast that you'll get there before you know it. Now ain't that right? And until you become that, you're going to trust yourself, you're going to look to yourself, you're going to feel good about yourself, and you're going to think, I'm all right. But boy, the minute God convinces you of a sinner, then you'll say, oh my. Preacher, tell me about that robe of righteousness. Did that prodigal son come in? Been off in the hog pen? Didn't spend all of his money? He was poor, beggarly clothes on, stinking like a hog. Awful shape. And when he got back there, his father was looking for him and waiting on him. And then when he got in there, you know what he said? Bring forth the best robe. Now watch what else he says. Put it on him. He didn't say stick out your arms and then begin. Put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Show him that I'm in covenant with him. Show him that I love him. Put a ring on him to give him identification that he's my son. Put shoes on his feet. I want the gospel on his feet. Oh, I want him shod with that blessed gospel. Oh, see, God's glory is revealed in us and by us. How? By us disowning our works. The world won't do that. Religion won't do that. God's glory is revealed in us by us disowning our works and our righteousness for our acceptance with God Almighty. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Huh? We are complete in Him. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Abraham believed God. He's righteous. Paul declared the testimony of God. I believe. I believe. In a righteousness, not mine. That there's a man sitting in glory. And what he is there, I am here. Right now. Huh? And then last of all, let me give you this, and trying to wind it down. You know, and this is Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did predestinate, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, watch this, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many sons. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory, this is going to be future. It started here, it's already started. But the glory of the image of Christ is going to be revealed in us perfectly one of these days. Right? Paul says that he had changed this vile body and fashioned it like unto his glorious body.
Amen.
It doeth not yet appear what we should be, but we do know that when he appears, what's going to happen to us? We shall be just like him. The whole of salvation, the whole of God's eternal purpose in Christ is to bring glory to his Son in saving sinners like ourselves. Saving them through His redeeming love, His redeeming grace, and going to bring them and conform them to the image of His Son. This is predestination. This is predestination. I heard Henry Mahan, you all heard it one time, he talked about this business of predestination, being conformed to the image of Christ. He said it's like the Mississippi River. Predestination is being conformed. He said, you know, it starts and there'll be times it goes south, it'll go west, it'll go east, and sometimes it'll cut around and go a little ways this way. But he said it's going to end up in the Gulf of Mexico because it's going south. And you know, while we're going through this world, we're going this way and we go that way. Sometimes we even go backwards. Now, like that Mississippi River, we're going to end up just like Christ. Why? God said he was going to.
He predestined.
We're going to get to the end of this thing. God's done predestinated it all. Huh? Oh, this is our hope. This is our desire. Oh, my. And look at Ephesians 2:7, and I'm through. Ephesians 2:7. Well, I won't be through yet, but just a minute. Ephesians 2:7. Oh, this is, you know, in spite of my flesh, in spite of this whole wretched man, what assurance this gives. Huh? Look what happens here. It says in the ages to come, that means eternity, and all the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What this tells us is that our Lord is going to show us off throughout eternity as trophies. He's going to reveal throughout eternity the kindness of His grace towards us and in us through Christ. I was at a place here recently and they sung the old Rugged Cross. And when I heard them sing that, they said, you know, I'm going to lay my trophies down. And I didn't sing it with them. I wasn't going to sing that. I ain't got any trophies. What trophies you have? You got any trophies? You know, you may have a baseball trophy. You may have a football trophy. You may have a beauty queen trophy. But we ain't got no trophies when it comes to this salvation.
No, sure.
We're His trophies. He did all the work. What have we done? What have we contributed to this? We're His trophies, and He's going to show us off. We don't have anything to show off. He's going to show us off.
Amen.
Look at them. There they are. That's what they were. Look at them now. And that's what will happen. We get the glory of the angels themselves. 30 minutes, there's a silence in heaven. 30 minutes. I think it's 30 minutes is while God is parading His children down the avenues of glory, and the angels stand there in utter astonishment that they did all make it, didn't they? He did bring them all through here and astonished that sinners like ourselves are walking the streets of glory. And as the girl sang, we'll be home then. I'm going home, I'm going home. I'm going home, I'm going home. And when we get there, no more doubt, no more discouragement, no more sin. No more fear. No more sorrow. No more sighing. Perfection will be like our Master. It is not now, nor shall it ever be, our glory revealed in us, or our glory revealed to the world.
No.
It is His glory and His glory alone. It is written that no flesh shall glory in His presence. To God be the glory both now and forever.
Yeah.
It's His glory revealed in us. It's His glory that we're going to see when He comes and be changed into. Let me quote this to you in closing. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now unto Him, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to look. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without amen. World without end. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Can you trust Him? Is His glory being revealed in you? Do you see that electing grace call revealed? Is that a picture call? That blood applied to your heart? Oh. Our Father, our gracious, gracious God in heaven, blessed be Your holy name, for wondrous mercy, wondrous grace, for salvation to the uttermost. For this glorious righteousness whereby You clothed us, made us to be the very righteousness of God. Thank You, Lord. Blessed be Your name. Save Your people in this place. That sinner whom You've done something for, give them the grace to confess their faith in Christ by believer's baptism. Oh, Lord, we thank You for Your people. Thank You for Your gospel. In Christ's name we bless You. Amen. Amen. Turn your